So we're going to read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita today. And and we're going to relate it to Gaur Lila. And I'm trying to think of a theme that I could speak on that connects Gaur Lila with Krishna Lila. And what I'm thinking is we can talk about Lord Chaitanya's process of attaining love of Godhead. A little softer, at least at the beginning till I get going. Because his process, as we discussed before, was developing sambandha or relationship to the holy name. In other words, the Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name. With focus and attention, and that that attention is best invoked by love, a relationship with the Holy Name. So I thought we can engage in the process. We can chant Hare Krishna, which is our focus, and we can develop sambandha for the holy name by hearing Krishna Lila, and we'll do that for a few days. So I'm going to read from Brahma Vimohan Lila because I've been lecturing on that in Mayapur for 3 weeks. We didn't finish it, so I'd like to keep that momentum. Because when you speak something regularly, and then you're speaking, you not only get the potency of the verse, but you get the potency of everything else you've been thinking about and studying for the last. And this pastime is, it's actually a very important pastime for understanding Lord Chaitanya, actually, too. And what Lord Chaitanya had to give, which is spontaneous devotional service. And spontaneous devotional service can only happen when you have a sambandha or relationship with the Supreme Lord in Madhurya. In Aishwarya, there's no, you can't have a spontaneous relationship. Because when there's the concept of divinity, which is prominent, then the spontaneity is checked by three things. By a distance in the relationship, by a fear in the relationship, and obligation in the relationship. The spontaneous means just love. And that's called Kevala Bhakti. Mukunda, you remember when we had the installation of your deities? And I was supposed to give the kata, and Iyengar Prabhu would give the do the bathing and the kirtan. He would do the kirtan, and I would just do the kata. And I spoke on a verse: Parama Karuna Pahu Dvijana Nithai Gora Chanda. So
Sarvata Sarashivani Kevala Ananda Kanda.
So I said, Kevala, he gave a process, Kevala Ananda Kanda. A process which is only blissful, which is chanting Hare Krishna. I thought that was okay. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Kevala, the path that's only blissful. Which is why it's bhakti. Susukam akartam avyam. It says in the Bhagavatam, the Bhikita, it's a process which is only blissful. Why? Because every other process, the pleasure is an objective or goal. If you do the process of jnana, the objective or goal is fun. Jnana is not fun, because the process of jnana is vairagya. You ever see a Mayavadi sannyasi? You see them coming into the Krishna Balaram Mandir? They're personified prunes. Because their goal is happy. Don't knock liberation. Liberation is ecstatic. It's just nothing compared to bhakti. And karma, that song is swaha, 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 swaha. I'm not into that, actually. When the people start doing the mudras, I go to sleep. And I know it's purifying. I had a sacrifice in my house in Govardhan. I was bringing up myself and Sachinandana Swami. And two people were initiated. And we had Yadunandana Swami do the puja. Just pure, simple. It's in the Bhagavatam that fire yajna is, and karma is kind of boring. Anybody know the verse in the Bhagavatam where karma is kind of boring? Vayam natu vichiptatma uttama shloka vartate yachrindatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. Yachrindatam rasa jnanam, the jnanam, the understanding that's filled with love, bhakti. That swadu swadu pade pade. What's swadu? It's like drinking sweet rice? You know who the first devotee who ever sat next to me at a Sunday feast was? 1970 in Watsika Avenue, where we were progressive then in our preaching, so we had church pews. Baba Ananda. And while he was preaching to us, at one particular time when he was preaching to us, he just kind of, with the cup, took some sweet rice. And it kind of made the point about Krishna consciousness. We remember that. Swadhu, swadhu. But bhakti has no goal. If you have a goal, it's not bhakti. If you're doing devotion for something else, it's not bhakti. So bhakti is a path that's pleasurable in itself. So I thought it was a great explanation. But Iendra, his eyebrows furrowed. And there was a magnifying glass of intensity. And then he exploded. I go chanting the holy name, chant, be happy. I mean, can you go wrong? Kevala Ananda Kanda, give me a break. Farrow. He said, no. Kevala Ananda Kanda means spontaneous devotion. Because Kevala Ananda Kanda, because Kevala Bhakti means spontaneous devotion, because that's the bhakti that's really only bhakti. This is no duty, there's no fear, there's no obligation. And I'm not knocking Vaikuntha praying for love. In my culture, we should say I should only be so lucky. But on a comparative viewpoint, he gave that Kevala Ananda Kanda. Even when we say Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sattva, this is what we give. Because we give ultimately a relationship with Krishna. And ultimately to develop relationship with Krishna. And that is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He showed how to get this. He wanted something. God wanted something. And what did he want? Madhavananda, what are the three things?
He wanted to know what is the love of Radharani, what is the happiness she has, what is it that she sees as being.
Right. In the ancient system of Brooklyn hand language, I'm going to demonstrate this. Here is Krishna, and here is Radha. And Krishna is experiencing a relationship with Radha. And he wants to experience the love that Radha... What are they? In English.
What is the nature of
the
love?
What is the nature of the love?
What is the happiness she experiences?
What is the happiness she experiences?
She sees in me, or she's so attracted by it.
Those three things. Krishna wanted that. So he wanted that love. That's Gaur Lila. God wanted, and actually, without getting that, Krishna is not God. Because
be careful. God,
what?
Be careful with that one.
I'll take my risks. I'll take my risks. Well, it's like a rose without its color and its scent. You may call it a rose, but I prefer that a rose is red and a rose is fragrant. Without Radha, without Shakti, they're one. So, what was my last point?
Krishna's not God.
What?
Krishna is not God without this.
What?
Krishna is not God without this, without experiencing this.
Radha has to be there.
Okay, I got it. Krishna, without becoming the devotee, it cannot be fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead means the Supreme Enjoyer. And the Supreme Enjoyer of love. And to enjoy love fully, you must experience love both as the beloved, the object of love, and the lover and the subject of love. The devotee. So God must become his own devotee. But what love does he want to experience? He wants to experience the love of his topmost devotee at the height of her love, which is her separation. And actually, if we see in Gaur Lila in Puri, and we look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what are the pastimes that are discussed? When it tells us what are the pastimes that are discussed, what are the pastimes that were discussed? Anybody remember any?
Depends on whether Lord Chaitanya was in public or in private. If he was in public, he used to like to hear Dhruva pastimes and right. pastimes of
that's true
of Kalabraj. That's okay. All he would hear in public.
Okay, we have a little Vaidhi Bhakti opposite. No,
but in private, he used to like to hear the songs of Chandidas, the songs of.
But what pastimes in the Bhagavatam he would hear in private when he was cultivating his he would hear the story of Kurukshetra, that's mentioned there, where Radharani was in separation from Krishna. He'd meant the Rasa Lila, where Radharani was in separation from Krishna. And Akrura taking Krishna from Vrindavan, where Radharani was in separation. That's what he wanted to experience. Love at its height. So this is Gaur Lila. So the nature of Gaur Lila is God is becoming a devotee. He's not only becoming, and becoming a devotee means what? It means a certain mood. Real devotee means a relationship with Krishna. Devotee means lover of Krishna. Love comes in relationship. He wanted his relationship with Krishna. He wanted to experience the relationship with Krishna. And his whole life is the example of how to do that. And the end of his life, he shows how to practice the end of the life, of can we describe the end of his, the Madhya Lila is from 24 to 30, from 30 to 48 he's here in Puri. And when he's in Puri, the first 6 years he spends more with the devotees, and then he gradually goes into more and more seclusion in the Gambhira, and he shows us what is his practice. His practice is he's chanting the name and cultivating a relationship with the name by his confidential devotees who are singing songs that exemplify the devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is aspiring for. And he's hearing stories with the devotion, about the devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is aspiring for. And therefore, in those stories, two things are there. In those songs, two things are there. There's the glories of the object of your devotion, which is Kishore Krishna. Krishna in a particular age, which is suitable, which is mature for that relationship they're aspiring for. And he hears about the devotees who have the love he is aspiring for. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that this is the process to nourish your sentiments and also to discover your sentiments. How do you find out your relationship with Krishna? Well, you have to chant Hare Krishna, and you have to read the Bhagavatam. And by reading the Bhagavatam, you become purified of your attachments. You become free from your misconceptions. And then you're actually able to hear Krishna's pastimes as they are without projecting your attachments and misconceptions on them. I was, I gave a class in the Bhakti Center, and it was the most varied audience I've ever experienced. Because there's 250 people, 300 people, most are Westerners. I would say many have not yet come even to the conception that Krishna is God. They're just attracted to the holy name. They're attracted to the devotees. And then there are also many senior devotees. Yogeshwarapu was there. Lakshmimoni was there. Mother Rukmini was there. Jayadvaita Swami was there. Naranjan Swami was there. Radhanath Swami was there. And I'm supposed to speak on Rasa Tattva. And satisfy everyone. Actually, to be the king of the world, one has to be a Mahabhagava to be the king of the world. Because you have to manage and satisfy everyone. You may have to be a Mahabhagava to be a successful temple president. To satisfy everyone. But anyway, I had an inspiration. And I learned one thing from Bhurijan Prabhu too. When you speak on the 10th canto, back up. Speak about the qualification to hear it. And when you speak about the qualification to hear it, enough at a particular time, at least my experience, you'll feel empowered to present it without misconception and understanding, misunderstanding. So what I did, and I really prayed deeply, is there was a picture of Radha and Krishna on the wall with all the gopis. So I would ask the question, imagine you're coming in for the first time, and some of you are, what do you see? What do you see now? And what will you see when you're a pure devotee? Will you see the same thing? I described yesterday that Ishvara, he does a very nice service printing so many books. This book is very, very well done. It's called Vaktravali. It's transcribed lectures of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's got a really great index for all the subjects. And the first thing is Bhakti Siddhanta was saying that darshan, and darshan just doesn't mean seeing, it really means hearing. Darshan does not just mean the senses, it means the mind. And if the mind is full of too many attachments and too many misconceptions, what will you see? I bow, Prabhu, shut that door, come around the back. It's okay. What?
She can lock the door.
Yeah. What will you see? Will you see Radha and Krishna? Will you see Prema Bhakti? So the process is, when you read the Bhagavatam and you become free from attachments and misconceptions, and this is the process if we actually do it. I'm very inspired by Vaisheshika Prabhu sent me a diagram he made, and the title is Read a Page and Become a Sage. 41 verses a day. 41 pages a day, you finish the Bhagavatam in 1 year. So actually, very, very, but when you become purified, and Prabhupada was merciful as he knew how to give the tattva, really, even at the beginning, the couch, we had so much faith that he could speak to us and frame our minds so we can hear these things in the right way, then what you'll hear about is the supreme object of love and the supreme subject of love. And when you hear about the supreme object of love, you will desire to be the supreme, you'll desire to be the subject of that love. And then you'll relish hearing about those people who have the love that you're aspiring for. So this is the process. And as Madhavananda Prabhu was saying, everything is in Prabhupada's books. And his guru was saying, everything's in Prabhupada's books. Because it's chit shakti. It's not just ink and paper. It's not just intellectual. It's God. The six Goswamis would read a verse in the Bhagavatam. I heard this, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would pray to a verse in the Bhagavatam, and volumes of meaning would come out. So someone could write everything, and you will completely misunderstand it. So it's written in such a way that you can't tackle it cheaply. You have to tackle it. You have to move. You have to understand it with a certain devotion, a certain dedication, a certain humility, a certain prayer. And then you'll hear it and you'll become attracted. At least you'll become attracted. I want to be, have that love of the residents of Vrindavan. Even if it's not yet focused, at least you'll know your Ishtadev. And then you get the deity. In ISKCON, well, you know, generally when you get initiation, it's called Pancha Samskara, and the fifth samskara is you get Ijja, you get worship. And that's connected to the meaning of initiation, which is described in, I know if it's the original source, but it's described in the Bhakti Sandarbha that initiation means Divyagyan, transcendental consciousness. And then it's defined as transcendental consciousness as Bhagavat Sarup Gyan Sambandha Vishesh Gyan. You get the form of God and your specific relationship. At least in seed form. And Prabhupada gave Bhagavat Sarup Gyan when people would get second initiation, you would be on the altar developing a relationship with a particular form of Radha and Krishna. And I see how it works. Now I'm in the Bhakti Center. They have these deities that were installed at the time of Prabhupada called Radha Muralidhar. And I can see that people who come to Krishna consciousness in line from Prabhupada, in line from his associates and his followers, they get Radha Muralidhar as their Ishtadev. They get that Sambandha Visheshgan. They get that Bhagavad Sarupgan. But it's not such a cheap thing. You have to purify yourself. And the last misconception that has to be purified before you enter into a deep understanding of Krishna is you have to understand that the Madhurya conception of Krishna is the fullest conception, that there's nothing lacking. And I want to mention another reason why I just love to read these purports, which I haven't got to the verse yet. But why I love to read these purports, because they're Prabhupada's last purports. And he's on his back in Vrindavan, in pain. And it's amazing how these purports come out. And Prabhupada says something so brilliant. I want you to meditate on what Prabhupada says, but it's a relationship to what Brahma saw. And the image of what Brahma saw is really so beautiful. There's three verses in the Bhagavatam that are considered the main pictures of Krishna. One is in the Venu Gita, Baharpidam Natavaravapu Karniyo Karni Karya Bibrad Vishat Kanika Kapisam Vaijayanti Chamala Bibram Vishad Natavara Babu Karnio Karni Natavara. He's a dance. Karnio Karni. Tulips in his ears. Bibrad Vishak. And he has golden garment and the beautiful garland. So that's one. The other is a verse in the Wives of the Brahmins, when they see Krishna. And then there's this verse in Brahma Vimohan Leela. And it's particularly charming. Particularly charming because Krishna finds this picnic spot. And this picnic spot is just so beautiful. And it gives a description of Vrindavan in a seed form that's so beautiful. It says, this is what Vrindavan means. Swakeli Sampat. Sampat means assets. And what does Krishna have assets or opulence for? He has assets or opulence for his lila or play. He desires to enjoy in a particular way, and there's an environment that manifests. And when you want to enjoy intimate relationships, you don't need huge palaces and golden thrones. You need white sands, clean white sands. And you need a flowing river that's clean. You can see to the bottom. And you need that river to have lotus flowers that are attracting buzzing bees and birds, which are resounding through the beautiful forest of lush grasses. You need a very beautiful atmosphere. Has anyone been to a place in Vrindavan called Tatiyasthan? Okay, Gauranga, beautiful, huh? Do you like their Drupada Kirtan? Amazing, right? Some of those sadhus are real scary when they come out of their caves, aren't they? Frightening, right? Kinshin, have you ever been to Tatiyasthan? Shamdas told me in Vrindavan that's the best Drupada Kirtan. I don't even know what that means, but and they don't use instruments. The only instrument is their voice. See, sometimes people, the only instruments they use are not their voice. Toshi Gopinath, bang, 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 bang. They just use their voice. But they worship the sand of Vrindavan. What's the verse of Uddhava being prayed to be a lump of grass in Vrindavan? What? Yeah, you know the whole verse? No? Anyway, this ashram is based on this verse. The ashram is based on the verse of Uddhava seeing the gopis seeing how exalted they are, that they're just praying to be a lump of grass in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Krishna. The whole ashram, 20 acres of forests, and no electricity in this ashram. None. They live as the sadhus lived 500 years ago. And when you go in their temple, it's like a maze. And then their temple is outdoors with trees and sifted, thick sand, dust of Vrindavan. They say that it's crushed diamonds and gold in it. But I remember when I took Giriraj Swami there for the first time, and he paid his obeisances in that sand of Vrindavan, he didn't get up for a long time. And when he got up, he was talking about its fragrance. So this is the vision that the demigod saw. And Krishna was like the center, he was the petal, he was the whirl of the lotus, and the cowherd boys were the petals. And their bhava or bhakti is they're just praying that Krishna may turn to them. And he actually does. They're praying. So there's so much love. And then Krishna has a golden dhoti. And when he has the golden dhoti in his right side, he has a flute tucked in. Now, is the flute a Vamsi, a Venu, or an Anandini? There's different sized flutes with different... Anyway, the right side, the left side, kind of maybe tucked into his belt, was a bugle buffalo horn and a cowherd boy's stick. And he was holding in his hand a preparation of rice, fruit, and dahi, yogurt, mixed together in a perfect proportion by the residents of Vrindavan, the elderly ladies that are cooking for their children, who know that Krishna will, their sons will be sharing their food with Krishna. And Krishna is holding that fruit in his hand. And, you know, it's a wet preparation a little bit. I guess, the yogurt may have been a little thick. And the whey is dripping down his arm, staining his dhoti. And the demigods are looking at this. And they say, Yagyabhuk Balakeli. Is he Yagyabhuk? Now, Yagyabhuk means one who eats all the yagyas. So you can imagine, all the ghee is thrown in, how many bananas he's eating. In India, they're all thrown into the fire. And God is Yagyabhuk. Can imagine the power of Yagyabhuk. He's eating all the preparations, all the things from all over. Yagyabhuk, Balakade. And then they said, Balakade, but he's playing with his friends. They're even sharing the same plates. That's disgusting. When I sometimes see Indian families getting together and eating off of the same plates, Oh my God. So they're just kind of, so they don't know, is this God? Is this God? And if you can't understand that, you can't enter into spontaneous devotion. And this is the brilliance of Prabhupada in his purport. What Prabhupada said in his purport is really so brilliant. Prabhupada says in his purport that he quoted the verse from the Brahma Samhita, the one you quoted to me yesterday, Giranagari. You can revise your verse and learn it. Translation?
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, absolute, inconceivable, infallible, beginningless, although he has expanded into unlimited forms. But still, he remains the original, the oldest personality, although appearing as an ever-fresh youth. These transcendental, all-blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are very rarely understood by the best of the Vedic scholars, but they are always manifested to the eyes of the pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord.
And you know, Prabhupada gives a commentary on achyuta. What does achyuta mean?
Infallible.
Do you know how Prabhupada defined that? Achyuta means one who never falls down from the position of Krishna. That's the whole thing. He's always, he doesn't become less, even if he expands in so many ways. He doesn't become less. And that means Swayam Bhagavan. This is the original. He's Achyuta. He's the original. He always remains the original. He's not an expansion of anything else. He's Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana. He's the cause of all causes. He has no other cause. So Brahma has this misconception. He does not understand Madhurya as the fullest manifestation of the absolute reality. And that's the basis of Krishna consciousness. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first verse says, Akila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the complete embodiment of all relationships. And that's the highest thing. And that's the Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy. That actually the highest thing is not position. The highest thing is personality. And position covers personality. The higher you sit, the less of yourself you can show, manifest, and give. So it's not a very full manifestation of any person when they're at their highest position of status and power. It's not the highest thing. And therefore, in the two main Krishna scriptures, the one spoken by Krishna, which is the Gita, and the one about Krishna, which is the Bhagavatam, the first place we see Krishna in both positions is where, Gitanagari?
Chariot driver, Lord Jim.
As the driver. The lowest position in Indian society. The first thing we see him, he's the driver. We see Krishna as the driver. But don't think he's fallen down from the position of Krishna. Because that indicates to us the greatness of Krishna. That he's serving his devotees. That that the real glory of God is his heart. I was just reading something in the prayers of Queen Kunti. I wish I could remember. I wrote something about it. Yes, how the most attractive feature of Krishna is not his power, it's his smile. Because the smile indicates his heart. And when I think of that, I remember the best picture I think ever taken of Prabhupada, which says a lot about Raghunuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotion. The best picture I've ever seen of Prabhupada, I think some of you may agree, he's at the airport in San Francisco in 1968 going back to India, and Jamuna's sister, Janaki, grabs Prabhupada's passport and ticket out of his hands and rips it out and says, "I'm not letting you go." And Prabhupada is like smiling. Why? Because that is Kevala Anandarana. That's only love. There's no distance, there's no fear. It's only love, and Prabhupada felt it. It was so forceful. Prabhupada smiled. Man, I'd be so on the mental plane. Will he like it? Will he not like it? What happens? Maybe I'll commit offense. She was proper, so forceful, that love. And Prabhupada beamed. And that's the most attractive part of any person. It's his heart. There's a famous saying, and it's so famous I don't know who said it. It says that one will be remembered more for how someone made people feel than what they accomplished. And sometimes we see that if someone passes away. They may not have technically accomplished, but they made many people feel their hearts and their love. Of course, we don't minimize accomplishment that's based on surrender and devotion and love and surrender and sacrifice. So Bhagavatam is the heart of God. So now we'll read today's verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Don't either be ecstatic or terrified that this is the beginning of an hour and a half of Bhagavatam. it's the kind of the end of the class, but we end with the best thing, which is Prabhupada's personal ecstasies. Evam samohayam Vishnu vimoham vishvamohanam swayaiva mayajo swayaiva mayajo pi swayameva vimohita. Thus, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who on the contrary mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power. This is a very powerful philosophical point, and we'll just touch on it. Brahma wanted to bewilder Krishna, who bewilders the entire universe. The whole universe is under Krishna's mystic power. Mama Maya Dorateya. But Brahma wanted to mystify him. The result was that Brahma himself was mystified. Just to one who wants to kill another, may himself be killed. And that's just an axiomatic truth. If you want to use your power against someone who is so much more powerful, your power will be diminished. That's just the fact. We really have to accept and be happy that we are not so significant or powerful. And that takes a change of faith. You have to really believe that the highest thing is love. Because love is not dependent on size. In fact, sometimes the smaller you are, the better you are in a position to love and have devotion. Anandam buddhi vardhan. It's unlimited. In fact, the position of love is so high that God, who has all power, wants that position. In fact, Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful person in the universe, we cannot even conceive the power of Lord Brahma. He wants to be nothing. He takes the position of Haridas Thakur. So this is just a fact. And it's a change of faith where you trust and experience pleasure. And that's what bhakti is. That your trust and your experience of pleasure is in service, which doesn't require power. It requires humility. But unfortunately, we become a lord and myself also with the path of power. The path of power is we want more beauty, we want more strength, we want more knowledge, we want more fame, we want more renunciation. Because these things are power, and power enables you to control the world, to conform it to your desires, which you call happiness. Love doesn't require power, and because we don't have power, it's a good aspiration for us. Because it's something we can have now.
If you want to be the center, you have 1,000 competitors trying to chop off your head, defame you, cut in front of you in line. You have so many. You enter into that world with all these other people, with envy. And the Bhagavatam world is completely different. The Bhagavatam world says, Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nimatsaranam satam. The devotee is without competition. He's not in that world. Everyone else is in that world. Nimatsara, envy, also means fruit of activities. But if you want to serve the center, there's no competition. You can do it at any moment, right now. You see, if you change your faith, you change your destiny. See, our destiny is, we want to be virtuoso violinists, and God gives us a hammer. Now, if you decide to be a carpenter for Krishna, you're happy. But we want to be a virtuoso violinist, and he's given us a hammer. Because God knows the hammer is more useful to us than the bow. For our whatever it is. So when you become, you change your fate, you change your destiny. All of a sudden your destiny becomes favorable for devotion. And that's harder to do than to say. Really it is. And the whole process, actually, Charachandra, I think he went out for a minute, he studies the Bhagavatam. So he gave me something that Prabhupada said that's so heavy. He said, if you don't, at the time of death, if you don't become fearless, all your bhakti is useless. All your bhakti was useless. I'm sure you do. And it's just about the seriousness of Krishna consciousness and changing that faith. If you're on the path of control, then death... You know, there was one sadhu in Vrindavan, a good friend of mine, a very tough scholar. So sometime he shared his realization. He said, the fear, the pain of death is not the physical pain. He said, the fear of death is losing all your attachments. It's losing all your attachments. That's the fear of death, losing all your attachments. He said, because the nature of the body, if there's too much pain, they'll just go into coma. Or they can drug it. It's losing the attachments. So if one doesn't change his faith, then... the future is real bleak. Anyway, amidst all the ras, I thought I'd throw in a little healthy hell brimstoning fire. In other words, Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. In a similar position are scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic challenge of Krishna. They challenge Krishna saying, what is God? We can do this and we can do that. But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. Look at Prabhupada's purport. The lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender to him. Sarva dharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Instead of defeating Krishna, Brahma himself was defeated, for he could not understand what Krishna was so powerful. And this is the principle. And that's why Prabhupada quotes Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Garatya. This is the principle. When you try to overcome God and the material nature, you are nourishing the consciousness that subjected you to the material nature. We're only here because of our consciousness, because we wanted to control and enjoy. That's the only reason we're here. Because that is not a position we can have by our constitution. And the only way you can fulfill a desire that exceeds your capability is to be an illusion. And that reminds me of a story when I was young. When we were young, when you're young, you're a little cruel. So I remember there was one person in my neighborhood. His name was David Siegel. And he was short and he was really fat. And I don't know why, but psychologically he desired that he would become a basketball player.
You mean football player?
Basketball
player.
Yeah. And I remember this so clearly. And the high school that I went to in Brooklyn, you know, they had a division. You know, you play in a group of high schools. It was called, by the New York Daily News, everyone knew it, it was called the Suicide Division. Because the best, at that time, the best basketball players in the world came from that. They were so thin and tall. And especially, we were afraid of boys high. And you know, it was, you know what their chant was? B-O-Y-S, boys high. And he tried out, he was practicing. He would practice every day. And he tried out for the team. And he was so short and fat, and these people were so tall, and he didn't get on the team. And then I remember this. I remember the street exactly. And I was with four friends. We looked across the street. It was the middle of the winter, freezing cold. And he was in a basketball outfit of the New York Knicks, the local team, with a basketball. And we came over to him. And he was in the illusion that he was on the team. And he would tell us what happened the previous day. He said, this is local talk. I scored 20 points. I ate him up, 20 points. And he kept on talking. So I just saw that constitution, he couldn't achieve his goal. It can only be fulfilled in illusion. And that's the material world. When you want to be the center, you have to be in the illusion that you are. And as long as you have that desire, it fortifies the illusion and subjects you to the modes of material nature. So as soon as you try to use your power to conquer God, you're increasing and fortifying your subjugation by God's energy, which is only following your desire. So the only way to actually become free from that is to change the desire from challenging God, which we all do subtly. We're all plagued by that. Always. Even the desire for liberation is the same thing. It's not wanting to surrender to God. Don't give me pain. Don't give me difficulty. That's liberation. I just want peace. Therefore, it describes in the prayers of the demigods, Yen ye ravindaksha vamukta marias toyasta bhavana vashuddha buddhya aruya katrena param padam. Look, I learned three of the verses. The three lines came out, not just one. Okay, say the verse in English.
O lotus-eyed Lord, persons who think or imagine that they are liberated in this life, but are devoid of devotional service unto your lotus feet, are impure in their intelligence. Although they accept severe penances and austerities, and they rise up to the spiritual platform of Brahman realization, they again fall down because of their failure to worship and their neglect of the rule of this
feet. Oh my God.
So, the wrong, they have the same conception. Prabhupada said to enjoy in the material sense or the spiritual sense. It's all about control. And the whole Bhagavatam is to bring us to the point of actually wanting to actually be happy to hear that Krishna is God, to actually aspire to surrender and to be his servant. And Jiva Goswami says that. That's why the Bhagavatam doesn't take full effect, because you don't really want to hear the message. So you have to hear the message again and again and again and again and again, and then you surrender. And then when you surrender, then you walk into the door of bhakti. Sharanagati is the door. You walk into the door of bhakti, and then you have the sentiments of devotion and love. And when you have the sentiments of devotion and love, then you read the Bhagavatam for love, just to hear about your beloved Lord and be inspired on every page. And I always remember what Bhurijan Prabhu once said, which was so ironic, because no one has studied the Bhagavatam more than him. He said, you know, I studied the Bhagavatam for 40 years. And I've come to the conclusion that the essence of spiritual life is to surrender to Guru and Krishna. So, this is a wonderful purport. The power of Krishna is just like a government that cannot be overcome. First of all, there are laws, and then there is police power, and beyond that there is military power. Therefore, what is the use of trying to overcome the power of the government? Similarly, what is the use of trying to challenge Krishna? From the next verse, it is clear that Krishna cannot be defeated by any kind of mystic power. If one gets a little power of scientific knowledge, one tries to defy God. But actually, no one is able to bewilder Krishna. When Brahma, the chief person within the universe, tries to bewilder Krishna, he himself was bewildered and astonished. As soon as you try, you're finished. I'm talking from personal realization. Always trying to control or get something or manipulate or pray that this is not here, and pray that pray that something's here is gone, and pray that something is not here is here, and you know, all based on my desires. And better than spending all my energy, mental energy, in that endeavor of hankering and lamentation, better than doing that, I should try to change my consciousness and try to use my energy to surrender to God. Because if I don't, then I'll fail at death. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'm just thinking, I was thinking of doing a seminar on death. I can name it what Prabhupada said. What is death but another birthday? But but really trying now to be happy with God's will. We're not happy with God's will, because God's will is not that we are the controller, enjoyer of the world. And that's His mercy, because that's a miserable position. Miserable position. Sometimes I give a seminar called The Skill of Happiness, and I ask the question at the beginning. I will be happy when? And then I envision myself in front of a candy store in New Jersey, holding up this big check that I just won the lottery. You know, they put a big check up there, and I'm holding it up, $350 million. I will be happy when I have that money, because money means power. I'll walk into Mayapur here. TOVP. $50 million. Here it is. Smile, front page, dundabat.com. they'll usher me in on a flower airplane. I will be happy when?
We'll be happy too.
What's that?
We'll be happy too.
We're rooting for you.
Okay.
Use your mystic potency.
Okay. We'll finish the purport. This is the position of the conditioned soul. Brahma wanted to mystify Krishna, but he himself was mystified. The word Vishnu is significant in this verse. Vishnu pervades the entire material universe, while Brahma merely occupies one subordinate post. Yasyaika nishvasita kalam atavalambhya. The word Nata, which refers to Lord Brahma, is plural because there are innumerable universes and innumerable Brahmas. Brahma is just but a tiny force. This was exhibited in Dwarka when Krishna called for Brahma. And we know that story that is elaborated, that he thought he was Brahma, but he was only a small guy in a universe with only 4 billion miles in diameter, as opposed to those who had 40 billion miles in diameter. You're nothing, Brahma. Okay, any questions?
Just one comment. In the very beginning, you said you were talking about Madhurya is the highest.
Yeah.
Of course it's the highest. But you said that you only can get to spontaneous devotion through Madhurya. And the people, and I saw people write that down, and you should let them know they can be in spontaneous devotion in Vatsalya and Dasya and
so that's also. Right. I was talking I was talking
Madhurya Aishwarya.
Madhurya Aishwarya, but that's his point is valid. It's any relationship you can have the spontaneous. Thank you.
But that's still a question. Aishwarya, I mean,
yeah.
We see in other traditions,
yeah.
Vaishnavas, for example, the Alvars, and
yeah.
And their deity is Narayan.
Yeah.
But their devotion is their bhakti is sometimes extraordinarily sweet.
Yeah,
in relation, even without, I mean,
yeah,
particularly with Venkateshwar mythology,
yeah,
there's often these leelas which are, I mean, is that the Aishwarya realm or is it just kind of Madhurya realm, kind of with Narayan?
Wow.
Well, it's Dasya, but it has some sentiments of. Almost sometimes, we were hearing when we went recently to Tirupati. The I don't remember his name, Ananta something, who threw the crowbar, and it hits because Balaji is helping out his wife.
You know what Jayadvaita Maharaj said in terms of a class? He said, a good class is when you stop before all questions are answered. Because they can be discussed then after the class. I'd have to say I really have to think about that, and I think maybe tomorrow we can think and discuss it among ourselves during the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe even something at night, Madhavananda, you want to think about that point, and we can discuss it further. It's a very good question. I'm afraid to. I'd probably have to like shift gears right now and go like.
Yes, one very quick movie.
Yeah. Okay.
I know in the beginning you talk about the Mahaprabhu aspiring.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if the aspiring is the right word to use as opposed to experience, because it's not like it's aspiring to love. He already has it.
Who's that has it?
Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
So then you use the word aspiring.
Oh, the question is, I'm saying he's aspiring to be a devotee. You're saying it should say experience?
Experience, yeah, as opposed to aspiring.
I think it's just a question, maybe a little question of semantics, because he was wanting something that can be called aspiring, but he wasn't like an aspiring, I mean, you want to call Mahaprabhu an aspiring devotee? I mean, Krishna was an aspiring devotee. It's a fact. Krishna was an aspiring devotee.
He's in the mood of that.
What?
He's definitely in the mood of aspiring.
He's in the mood of aspiring devotee, and you know, it goes to that realm of it's an eternal lila. So it's never a time where Krishna is not Mahaprabhu, but at the same time, there is the lila and experience of doing so. I do want to finish now because I want to finish a little bit earlier because I want to make, at 10 o'clock, I just want to say what the schedule is. We are going to, I have the schedule.
Maybe it's underneath.
Okay. We're going to Siddhapakul, very special place, probably the most sacred place. And we have kirtan, we have a little japa seminar in their temple in the back, so we can actually deeply get into the holy name. So we want to do that. Tomorrow, I just want to say a little change in the schedule, but what I want to mention is tomorrow we're just going to take just kirtan and visit Haridas Thakur's samadhi. Just by kirtan, just get the flavor of that. Maybe here a little bit in the morning, I'm speaking a little bit more about that pastime. Just to get the flavor and go in there. It's such a sacred place. It's not that far. We can either go by the beach or we can take the nice path around here. And then we'll probably all be invited for lunch at Tota Gopinath. Yes. So maybe tomorrow we'll figure out maybe a lighter breakfast, so that we can enjoy the lunch at Tota Gopinath. So that would be tomorrow. And tomorrow, We'll have a 6-hour kirtan from 3 to 9. So, Kinshana, raise your hand. And we can't guarantee we can fit everyone in, but those who want to do kirtan, you see Kinshana, he'll try to accommodate that the best we can. And we have kirtan there. Then the next day, okay. Then on the 5th, it's a great Acharya's appearance day. So we'll have prasadam at 12 and we won't really have breakfast. So we decided that we'll stay back that day and we'll just have some classes there, and we'll ask a few other people also to speak on that day. Maybe Marge, you're going to be gone by then, right? Okay. Gita Nagari is going to speak on the holy name. He's now heading up the kirtan in Mayapur, so he'll speak on the holy name for a half hour. Maybe one or two other people asked to speak, and Madhavananda will also speak that day on Advaitacharya, both then in the morning if he wants, and then we'll finish early so you can have a good evening class on Advaitacharya, really hear the tattva of Advaitacharya. Okay, and the...
Will we go to Gambir tomorrow also?
If you want, afterwards. What we're going to do tomorrow is... Oh, no, what we're going to do today is after Siddha Bakul, if we can leave at 10 o'clock, we'll have time after Siddha Bakul to take the Harinam in front of the Jagannath Mandir and get darshan of the Jagannath Temple, which is about 5 minutes from Siddha Bakul. So we can also see the Jagannath, and then figure out how to make a way back. Dobie will come today at 9:30. In general, 6 o'clock.
6 to 9. Sometimes it's 6 and 9 in the morning.
Well, that means by 6 o'clock, yes, people should have
people
their
should have their clothes.
Nobody
put their clothes outside.
And they'll be returned outside your room the next day.
Actually, nobody put their clothes outside the door, so Dobie came, but he didn't see anything, so he went. So we asked him to come back. So please, if you want,
he's going to come back today.
Today.
So if you want your clothes clean, put it outside the door. Do it now.
Do it now before
right
the
after the class, because he's going to come at night.
And tomorrow, early, please put it out by 6 o'clock.
And please do register tonight if you haven't. It's actually a legal police requirement, and we have to get passport copies for every person. So it has to be done today.